store here all summer, which is very exciting, and we're thrilled to be able to share this panel with you today. Just quite an amazing group of folks that you're going to have a chance to ask some questions to. We heard some of the laughter coming from the other room, so you guys must have had fun with the previous group, and I think you'll find that this will be very fun as well. So with that, I just want to introduce another team here, the Bellcat Name Tags, but we've got Clemence Posey. So we're thrilled to have you. Thank you. We've got Donald Gleason as well. Thank you very much, everybody. James Oliver Phelps. Bonnie Wright.
Series of editors, and these two are based in Toronto, Canada, at the British Bridge that they might have probably called the Tiny Badlands. But as for crop shows, because of floods and the deaths of the animal, hey, your place is a big part of the whole series. Everybody got very attached to their one. It was like any very proprietary, because each one's different.
Size 14 through, you can get them that size.
episode, sorry, just seems, I love when Harry and Hermione just dance and share that moment. It's just, that have nothing to do with special effects. And, so I think, yeah, he's got a real tenderness for this character.
Yeah, also, he's amazing in the day that he's over his body before, film, before he's directed. It's some people, filmmaking hits them, but it doesn't fit to me. British film. I had no idea that, you know, 14 years later I'd be sitting here talking about DVD of 7.1 and an exhibition that was opening of the props and costumes and things like that. And it's remarkable. When we began the first film, we knew we were going to make the second. So we knew that there was going to be the props and costumes had to survive that. Journey filled with sort of surprises and wonders, and it's fantastic. But this amusement park, on a film that I'm involved in, that we're all involved in, it's just, you know, pinch myself. It'll never happen. You know, this is a once in a lifetime thing, clearly, for me, I respect all of it. So, no, I had no idea. I'm very glad that.
Yeah,
my name. It's all students. It's not a Greek.
Also because there's no doubt that you're doing the right thing, that you're fighting the right thing. Bonnie, did you feel that sense of family immediately? We talked a little bit in the other room about you being 9 3/4 when you were shooting the 9 3/4 sequence, but did you feel that sense immediately?
Yeah, definitely. I think what enabled me to really sort of actually give anything probably in that first day of the scene was the fact that I did have that idea already of family and that idea of support. And for me, you know, when I stepped on set, you know, because I think when you're young, you don't really know anyone is, but my mom was like, she's quite a big deal, so you know, I respect her. And she was just amazing from the start. She has been a really kind of supportive and just fun person to be with. And like you said, we're always, there's never a dull moment, and we seem to always find humour in the scenes that we're filming, even if they're, you know, even if it's a very dark scene. And I've definitely enjoyed having Sam and all the brothers. I seem to get away with a lot being the ones.
It felt very hard to the first one I did. To walk through the great hall in the middle of the night. It's 500 children sleeping back. It's for sure a great one. But Bam Bam said he wanted to be put next to a certain girl. Alfonso, the director, put him next to this girl. But we need to get a fart machine inside his sleeping bag. Some way or other, I think we all feel a bit like an outsider, and I think that's a universally relatable element. I think the fact that then we've all been to school, and then we've all had friends who we've liked, and people who we haven't, and teachers who we admired, and teachers who we didn't.
So I think that's key. I also think that the Joe's books and the films, I hope, don't talk down to their audience. We've always treated, you know, you've said about David Yates understanding well, but I think throughout the films have not been, and the books have not been patronizing. There's a real sense of treating the audience. Joe wrote the books for herself, and in so doing, that she is the audience. And in so doing, there's never a sense of writing down or making the films down. And I also think finally, is the attention to detail. So the world feels very real. Joe hasn't, what you read in the books is just a thin slice of what, of her knowledge of this world. And, you know, you call her up, she can give you the six use of dragon's blood. You know, she can, when we were doing the Black Family Tree in the fifth film, we, in the book, I think there are four names. I emailed her, I said, Joe, we need to all call her up. I said, we need some more names because we're actually going to show it. 15 minutes later, this piece of paper arrived, going back five generations with 100 names on it, birthdays, death dates, who was married to who. The world is so carefully and so detailed, so well conceived. And the same applies to films in the sense that maybe not as well thought through at times, but there's some of the detail is incredible. And one of the pleasures of this exhibition is that you get to see some of the detail that you don't see on film. You can see the films are very rich, actually. You can see, I can feel, I think, in the films. But that is really part of what you can feel, is what you don't even see. And that's one of the pleasures of this exhibition, is you get to see some of the, you know, there's something in here which I love, which is, it's Lockhart's, it's the test that Lockhart gave the students, which is, you know, and you never see that on videos. But here, you, all those questions, he asks them about himself. And you see that here. And that detail we were talking before about the Quidditch program, the Quidditch World Cup program. You know, it's, I don't know how many pages, 20 pages of writing inside, and the schedules, and you don't see it, but it makes the world feel truer and more real. And I think that is really another. Also, to give Warner Brothers their credit, they've never encouraged us to skimp, and they've always pushed us and allowed us and given us the resources and time to make the films the way we have.
Which isn't just a franchise, it's also films that are really beautifully made and beautiful stories, made my life very, very nice after it. And I was supposed to do so many very low budget films that all of a sudden got financed, which was great. So it was really nice to come back and be able to say thank you also at the same time.
How's it going to come back for you, right?
So yeah,
the other thing I admire about him, Ben never plays it safe.
architect has taken that really seriously, and as he's left Potter, or as he does things outside of Potter, he's forever challenging himself. He looked at, you know, Equus as your first play, you know, hardly a modest, he's incredibly modest, unbelievably humble, but hardly a, you know, safe choice. And then he comes, he does that, and then he goes and does Singing and Dancing. And here's, he's absolutely incredible.
He's the man.
He's the man.
He was the man.
He was the boy.
He was the boy.
The boy lived.
Now he's the man. Seemed like a smart decision in hindsight, but at the time it was something that I loved. There was nothing calculating about it. I just loved the books, and as I said, you know, to show how bright I am, I had no idea what it would become. So I don't think that's
stressed, never felt the sort of febrile or never felt that they were worried. God knows how they gave that impression. But that's been a very important thing, because what you don't want when you're on something like this, something as big, is pressure. And you don't want people flapping. Do you say flapping? That has been great for us.
I think also because obviously we were all so young when we started. It's actually an amazing scene in the second film when obviously Ginny's meant to be completely sort of taken over by all the bottles, and she goes a bit kooky and crazy, and there's loads of me like running around the bathroom throwing the book into the toilet. But there was an amazing scene. You know, I would love to ring on the wall, like she's been lying in the chamber. I had a scene when I walked out into the snow into a chicken's pen and walked out killing, well, I was meant to be killing chickens and coming out with these dead chickens from the glove for the pain. But obviously it was a bit too much.
We don't talk down to our audience, but we do try and protect them every once
in
a while.
What about you, James and Oliver? Any scenes that you can remember like that?
That's the second part of the question. You always know when one of the first ones are on TV, you'll get a text message from one of your friends saying, "Hey, how high was your voice? How cute you look." I guess you're like watching a home movie in some sense, I guess. Shooting them and all the stories that came around it, like the Quidditch World Cup and the Goblet of Fire, that was is like Glastonbury Festival at least, and
very cold.
But it was just, and I just remember all the fun times that we had shooting them. And I think that's what, so I guess I like pride that they're still being shown and people are watching me, the ones which are like the first one now. I still love watching it and still pride watching it and just remembering the great times we had.
Each film probably 100, 150 times, roughly. You know, you can go for a cut, maybe that's slightly saturated, but it's probably like 75 to 100 times, just looking at cuts and different bits of it. And so I do that all the time when the film's finished. I'm always aware of the missed opportunities at the same time. I'm so proud of each of them, and each of them, when one comes on television, I watched Harry Potter, The Philosopher's Stone, for the first time. Since it finished, since we finished it, that was amazing to not see how young everybody was. But things that, I watch for a little bit and then move on.
Yeah. Actually, I think I've got a full box set of what I bought here. Generally, the last film.
Series in general. I mean, they were saying that if you guys saw the film yesterday, I mean, it went down amazingly. So, I think on a personal level, I had it come down really cool. On a professional level, everything, I'm sure that it's going to blow everyone's expectations.
I think it's always cool to be able to play characters who are very jerky, and yet you can show total, very serious, very self-assertive. And I think that's very, you don't normally get that thing in a film series, especially, you know, to be able to do that. Totally different. It was really cool with these characters that we've grown up
with. I'm trying to visualize your brain, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a little bit of so used to just going and just pressing around pretty much. Don't give them the run to do it. But then we have some of that same outfit with the other side of the character when they are serious and a bit somber, and that one where George Zia gets blown off. That was going, and that was like Bember Tale. We're a family kind of thing, like Mark and Julie. Like, we kind of talked about how you would feel coming into that. and so being able to play that range of the character as well was really cool. And then obviously part two goes in further roundabout, so
I was pretty happy. This is part two with three kids, that was okay.